I've got a quick question for you, alright. I wanna hear your thoughts, I wanna know what's on your mind. I've got a quick question for you, alright. The answer's not important, I'm just glad that we could talk tonight. So what's your favorite?
How did you get?
If there's an answer, they're gonna find it. I think you'll have a great time here.
So, hello again and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the podcast where two best friends and comedy writers ask each other questions and give each other answers. I am one half of that podcast, senior writer for Last Week Tonight, author of How to Fight Presidents, and moving boy Daniel O'Brien, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Soren Bowie. Soren, say something authentic. Can you just one time do that, please?
Be patient toward all that is unsolved in your heart and just try to love the questions themselves, like they're locked rooms or like books written in a foreign tongue. You can't now seek the answers that can't be given to you because the point is to live everything. So you live the question now, and then perhaps gradually you live along some distant day into the answer.
Inauthentic.
Yeah, that's real.
How are you, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing? You're moving still.
It's good. Yeah, I'm very excited. That's the dominating story in my life right now is that I'm moving down to a different part of the Jersey Shore. I got my contract. I'm super stoked about it. I'm a little grouchy right now because I e-signed the contract and I was so stoked. And then my realtor emailed and was like, now all you need to do is print out and sign this form and and mail it and a check to the landlord, and that, and like envelopes, stamps, paper, print out a thing. Yeah. I'm not prepared to do any of those things.
Right.
Maybe I'll just stay here.
I'm at a point in my life where it's gotten beyond just anger. It's a genuine panic when anyone asks me to print a thing. Ronan School asked me to print stuff all the time. And I'm like, I'll be right on that. And then like I jump out a window because I don't know what else to do. There's no way I can print a thing.
No, I have to go to Staples now. I'm really excited about this
place.
Three
different places you have to go.
I know. I really want to move in as soon as possible and like establish myself as someone who is reliable and good on deadlines. But like, I didn't really pencil in a Staples trip and a post office trip.
Yeah. Let me just like run down quickly, like I would do in my own day, how much time I think each of these are going to need. So you need a check. So you're going to have to find a checkbook.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
If you're me, I'm going to like put in half an hour for that because there's like 12 different places it could be an old checkbook. Then you've got to get stamps and you can't do that at the same place that you get the printing made because for whatever fucking reason, that's not how it works. You got to go to a mail, like an actual UPS store or a USPS store.
Yeah.
So
you can get stamps at grocery stores, which is nice.
Okay.
So I can do that in one trip, but
I'm going to say that's 15 minutes then.
Yeah.
Then you don't own envelopes. I know that.
No,
you're going to have to go buy envelopes. Maybe you could get them at the grocery store. If that's like one fell swoop, then that's 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And then you've got a fucking print still.
The printing and like,
put in an envelope yet.
I don't know if you've had to go to Staples to print. I've been printing stuff at Staples since 2020 because before that I've had office jobs and I used my office printer, but I don't own a physical printer myself. So in the last 3 years when I've needed something printed, I've gone to Staples. The internet at Staples is so fucking slow.
Yeah.
It's so bad. And I also, this is a dumb thing. If I log on to the computers at Staples to print something, I have to remember my password for Gmail? I don't have that information.
That's gone. Yeah. Also, I think you have to pay to use the internet at those
you
places.
You do. You have to pay to use the internet and you have to pay to print. And it takes so fucking long because no one relies on staples for printing anymore. So
Here's another option, it's such an afterthought. You can save whatever document that is to your computer, and then in like a breezy 2 hours, find a flash drive.
Put it on that and bring it in. That's right. I've gotten 10,000 free flash drives in my life, in my capacity as someone who worked on the internet and got branded swag for a decade. I have no idea where any of them are.
Of course not. Of course not. They're not things that are live in your life. They're things that you find occasionally. And you're like, huh, look at that. And then it's gone out of your head again. I found one when I was in Tucson in my backpack. And I have no idea what's on it. I have no idea even where it came from. It doesn't look familiar to me, but it was like in the bottom of my backpack. And I was like, I own a flash drive. The things I could do with this, and then put it away.
I have a Pepsi Blue flash drive from South by Southwest. What the fuck?
I know what you're talking about. So good luck, man. Yeah. At least you don't have to get a notary. That's like a whole nother part of the trip.
Yeah, we don't have that.
You know, for a while I thought maybe I would become a notary.
Why? Let's make this the episode now. Why?
Because I was needing a notary so regularly that I was like, it would just be easier if I was my own notary.
I have needed a notary once in my life. Why did you need them so often?
I needed them for wedding stuff. I needed them for... at the same time, I had an aunt who died, and I had a cousin who was like in charge of the estate, but the cousin was constantly giving me these distributions, like these small little chunks of money from my aunt, being like, she wanted you to have this. And I had to be like, okay, great. And then I had to, every time that I got something, I had to sign something for a lawyer, which meant that I had to go print it out and then go sit it, give it to a notary, sign it for the notary, then ship it away.
Huh. Could you be your own notary?
I don't know.
Is that ethically? Okay, yeah. I don't know either.
It was only a fantasy of mine.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? This is actually a really good segue, Daniel. I have a quick question for you.
Oh, sure. Let's go.
It's been a while since I've done one of these. I appreciate your patience. If you had to, for a day, do any other job other than what you do, and I'm talking like a high profile job. Let's not like say assume notary. Yeah. Nothing against all you notaries out there.
Hey man, May 1st, I might have to. That's just a fun little inside baseball joke for folks listening.
We might go on strike, everybody. The writers might go on strike, and Daniel and I will be out on our asses.
Yeah.
Well, we won't actually be out on our asses. We'll be out on lawn chairs picketing, I assume.
Yeah.
Because that's part of the agreement. Mm-hmm. If you had to like pretend to be a professional in another high profile job and you couldn't let anyone know that you didn't actually know what you were doing, and it's like something that you don't have any skill sets that belong to this job, what's a job that you think you could get away with?
Do you have one that you want to do first?
Yeah, I have one. Okay. I have one that I think about a lot.
Okay.
Weatherman.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think I could be a fucking awesome weatherman.
At your age?
I think it's a great age. Johnny Mountain, are you familiar with him?
No.
When he used to live in Los Angeles? Okay. There are a couple of very famous weathermen out here. All of them have names like Johnny Mountain or like Jimmy Rainier or something.
Yeah, I mean, LA doesn't own that.
And all of them are these like silver foxes. Like they're these guys who are a little bit older, but like still kind of got it.
Mm-hmm.
And I fashion myself as one of those. And a lot of it is, obviously I think these guys are writing a lot of their own stuff because these guys probably have meteorological degrees. And there is something to like, they got to know how to read a Doppler or whatever that is. they've got to know how to track a storm and stuff like that. Pressure and cold fronts. All of that, I'm confident that I could make up and no one would know the fucking difference.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess another weatherman might. But I'm confident that I could just make it up on the spot. I look at whatever is on the green screen. I can see it. I see some arrows and I'm like, fucking yeah, this is hot down here. This is where it's headed. And then we're going to heat meet another weather system right here. We're going to get a high pressure front coming up from the south. Obviously, that's going to cause a couple of storms right around the Temecula area. Like I could just like,
yeah,
they drone, like it seems so easy.
And there's absolutely
nobody knows weather.
there's no accountability.
Right.
Gotten fired. Like they don't bring in Al Roker at the end of the year. I'm 100 years old. They don't bring in Al Roker at the end of the year and be like, hey man, you really fucking blew it this year. None of your predictions came true. We have to let you go. It doesn't matter. No one cares.
Yeah, there's no a December list of apologies that this network is giving out for that year of like things that they needed to retract, and it's a bunch of fucking clouds. Like you're just, there's no accountability whatsoever.
That's why I'm so curious. I'm immediately curious about a thing that I never thought about before, because you said that you assume that whether people have degrees in meteorological studies, is that true? Do they need to? Couldn't they just get fucking anyone up there?
I don't know. I think that there's a lot of occasionally like the anchors feel free to talk throughout the weather segment. And they will ask questions in local syndicate news. And they'll be like, hey, so what does that mean for our weekend, Todd? And Todd's got to know. The way that he talks, he knows the glossary of terms. I assume that means that he understands what's going on.
Yeah. It's so insane and so funny to be like, Todd, when's this rain going to end? And Todd has to have an answer. Julie. Wednesday?
It's such like a clumsy science to begin with. It's like, because there's no accountability, because we all accept the fact that we don't totally get the weather.
Yeah.
We don't totally understand what's happening. When I look at my phone and it's giving me like weather 2 weeks out, I'm like, no, you don't.
Yeah.
You don't know that. You fuck up all the time. Anyway, I think I could be really good at that. And I would even, the ones that add just like a seasoning or a spice to what they do, those guys go internet famous right away.
Yeah.
It's such a vanilla job that if a guy actually, his dog wanders onto screen, everyone loses their shit.
Right. It's also, it's a job, like, I'll liken it to like, writing recipes or writing about fitness. It's so rare that you get someone who writes about those things, but is also interesting and funny separate from their thing, that when you find someone who does, like Casey Johnston, who writes about fitness, or, no, there are no funny cookbook writers. But like, if you find someone who does that interestingly, you latch onto them. So if you were a weatherman who is doing, you're all you have are the raw materials of the weather that you can't control. If you add one little spice on top of that, you're a fan favorite. Everyone's going to love you.
It's so easy. There's a weatherman in LA who dances, and everyone's like, there's long periods of time where you're just looking at, and he can afford to, because all you're seeing behind him is like sun from here till the end of eternity. Generally. Yeah. I mean, obviously not recently, but, he's like the whole week forecast. He doesn't need to say anything, 'cause it's all right there. And so he would just like, music would come on and he'd dance. And that was a big deal. Like everyone was like, oh, the dancing weatherman. Yeah. We all know the dancing weatherman. The bar is so unbelievably low that I could make weathermanning, I could put like my own stamp on weathermanning easily. The top of my head, like the first thing that comes to my mind, I would just be like, oh, then let's just try that. And it would be a success.
Yeah. I'm fully on board for Storm and Buoy. I'm a little curious, like, do you, I haven't seen a weather report in, I don't know how long. I use my phone, or I go to weather.com. One of the first websites ever invented.
Even better.
And look at the weather from there. And there's no interface with a person.
Right.
Do you?
Even better.
Why is that even better?
Because nobody's watching me. There's even less accountability. I mean, these guys still exist. The career's out there. I mean, because it's broadcast television hasn't gone away, and Scripps News Media or whatever that owns every single syndicate across the country.
Right.
They're each one of them, every city's got a weatherman still. Oh, it's so easy to just duck back into the fold. Like, just like get up there and be like, I'm doing all of mine with a green suit on, and then I'm going to pretend that I'm just ahead. And that's going to be my thing. And it will be a success.
Yeah.
And then if it's not, I just duck back in among all the other weathermen. It's easy.
Yeah. And then everyone gets really excited anytime there's any holiday. And it's like, what's Soren going to do for like the St. Patrick's Day weather? Is he going to say top of the storming to you? I can't wait.
It's a, oh, I think I could do such a great job. Do you have one in mind?
Man, your answer was so great. I have a lower stakes answer that I've always felt like I could do, whatever it is that Don Draper does in Mad Men. I think like the idea of just all you need to do is convince a small room of people that whatever you're saying is important. I feel like I could fucking crush that. That was anytime I've ever been in school and the assignment was give an essay right now, give a persuasive essay. I was like, great, I don't need any time to prep. I can just like go up and bullshit better than anyone I know in the world. And that is, I guess, what I think sales is. Is that what he did in Mad Men?
Yeah. I
like salesman advertising.
Yeah, for a day. I think you're right. I think for a day, it would be very easy to get away with that job.
Yeah.
I think that there are, I'm backtracking on my own because there are a lot of parallels with my own career. Like I'm a performer by nature.
Yeah.
So I already have that under my belt. I think that you have been accidentally selling things for a very long time.
I have. And I also feel like our experience at Cracked, we have had different people on our marketing team and sales team. And every one of them, I've thought, oh, you're just a charlatan. You're just trying to trick people and charm people. I could do that. I think I could probably do that.
Yeah, I think I could too. All right, so you're saying from the perspective of like somebody's coming into Gillette's coming into you and they're like, how are we going to sell our razors? And you're like, all right, here you go.
Yeah.
Here's some ideas. I think you would be really good at that.
Yeah.
Just that's like copywriting though,
like,
huh?
Isn't like it? High profile lying, I think, is what it is.
it's not a razor. It's a carousel. You say that for everything. Every one of them.
Everything's a carousel.
Whatever the product is. And you're just showing off pictures of your family over and over. It's not an at-home rectum testing for cancer.
Yeah.
It's a carousel.
Yeah.
Here's my daughter.
Listen, I know this app claims that it wants you to spit into a vial and then mail it to somewhere in Sweden. No. It's not that. It's carousel. Look at me on the beach. It's pretty cool, right?
With my dog. Isn't that nice? I think, man, for a day, I think that would be so easy. And you're not going to cost any of those clients because they're going to come in. They must come in all the time and be like, I don't like any of these ideas. Go back to the drawing board. And you're going to be like, all right, see you in 3 weeks. Yeah. And the problem with yours is that you're surrounded by people who are doing the same job.
Yeah.
And some of them might be like, what the fuck? Or maybe, I don't know how I feel about this yet. Maybe they'd be like, yeah, that'll sound like a good idea to me. Don't know why it didn't work out.
That's the thing that I think about that industry. I think there is some level of awareness that marketers know that no one really knows anything and they're all bullshitting each other. You know, it doesn't strike me as a total meritocracy where the best of the best are at the top. It does seem like everyone is engaged in the same like shared delusion that it's okay that they're pretending they know what they're talking about.
Yeah. It's so hard to tell. It's so hard to tell because it feels like that. There are a lot of careers like that where I'm like, none of you know what the fuck you're talking about. And that is certainly one of them. And Mad Men didn't dissuade me of that.
Yeah.
Him going in drunk and stealing other people's pitches was like, fuck, I could do that.
So like, I feel like if I did a Mad Men thing and I was like, you think this is about Energizer batteries? It's not. It's about carousels. I think someone else in the room would be like, well, I know he's bullshitting, but like I'm bullshitting too. So I don't want to give the whole game away. So I have to clap and pretend to cry.
And then at the end, I have to say what a great job with it is until I believe it.
Yeah.
This is getting a little too close to home with actual writing. No,
this is writing.
I don't like this game anymore.
I have a quick question for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
This came up in work recently where someone was writing a joke that relied on the punchline being the name of a 23-year-old celebrity.
Okay.
And so I very quickly Googled 23-year-old celebrities and came up with a list of, let me scroll through, 48 people that are 23 and allegedly famous. This is on famousbirthdays.com/age/23.html. And that's 48 people, Soren.
Okay.
I knew four of them. How many do you think?
You are my expert. You're the guy. You're my encyclopedia for this shit.
Man. How many do you think you will know? And I wanna preface this by saying I have pictures and names and jobs, and a lot of the jobs are Instagram star or TikTok influencer.
I'm confident that I don't know if these people,
I wonder if you can get the four that I knew.
I think I can get one. I'm pretty sure I can get one. If I just like think of people that are around that age, I'm pretty confident that I'll know at least one of them.
Born in 1999.
This is the same thing that happened to me the other day when the Coachella list came out and somebody was like, hey, how many of these bands do you actually know from Coachella? Are you over 35? How many of these bands do you know? And I looked at the list and I was like, uh-oh, none.
Yeah. It was a real humbling moment when like it was a popular internet thing to do like fake Photoshop versions of Coachella lineups, those posters. And it was very humbling when I could not tell the difference between real and fake. Because for a while, I could tell what was fake. And now when I look at a listing of the Coachella lineup, I'm like, Blink-182. All right. Pass on the rest of these. Don't know if someone's playing a prank on me. We'll never know.
It does feel like an alternate universe all of a sudden. You're like, oh, I don't belong here anymore.
Yeah. So I want to...
Okay, give me these names. Yeah.
I'm going to run off four names real quick. James Charles, Instagram star. Ice Spice, rapper. Bryce Hall, TikTok star. Tony Lopez, TikTok star.
No, I don't know any of those.
Not one. YouTube star, Dream.
Dream was... they didn't know his face for a long time.
That's right, you got one! That's exciting. I didn't get that one. So you're off to a great start. NBA Youngboy.
Yes. Oh,
really?
I know NBA Youngboy. Only because I just saw a video recently where like these rappers got checked. They were in like the wrong neighborhood making their videos and they got checked. Like, and it was just a compilation of this.
Wow.
And NBA Youngboy was in a mall and he got checked by some people who were like, because he had been claiming himself as part of the Rollin' 60s, which is an LA subset of the Crips. And then when like he got checked in the mall, he was like, nah, I don't really fuck with that. And then later he threw up some gang signs that with other people from the 60s. And then everyone was like, you're fucked, man.
Oh my God.
Yeah, you either throw it up all the time or you're out.
When I saw NBA Youngboy on this list, that was the first clue that made me think this is an AI generated response to the question famous 23-year-olds, because it seemed so improbable that there was someone named NBA Youngboy who was a famous rapper.
Well, I wouldn't be able to tell you a single verse that he has ever done. I've never heard him actually rap. I've barely seen blurry footage of him.
How do you feel about Jordan Jones, Jace Norman, Jack Avery, Brooklyn McKnight, and Tanner Fox?
Oh, those names suck so hard.
I know.
Jace
Tanner, Norman.
Tell me, is Tanner a girl?
Tanner Fox.
I'll look her up.
Is a YouTube star. I think boy.
The boy. Oh, he sucks.
Yeah.
It's a poor guy. I in the off chance that somehow he ever hears this, I'm sorry, Tanner, you don't suck.
No, I'm looking at Tanner Fox's headshot, and it's not dissimilar from your headshot.
Well, the first thing that came up for me were just a bunch of pictures of him in front of like very, very fancy cars.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's your thing. You're a little car boy.
We are approaching the first person on this list that I knew.
Okay.
Elmo O'Dwyer, Chris Sean Malone, Cabbie LaMay, Ja Morant.
No, I don't know any of those.
Really? Oh, no. Ja Morant's a basketball player.
Morant?
Yeah.
Oh, Ja.
Ja Morant, yeah.
Oh, I thought you were saying John.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I know Ja Morant. Oh, that was, he's 23?
He's 23, yeah. So it was like it was like a very Pyrrhic victory where I get to the 16th person on this list, and I'm like, Ja Morant, I know him. I'm relevant. He's 23? Fuck me.
That's exactly right.
Oh, no.
the train of thought I just had. He was in a lot of trouble lately, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess I only know the only ones that really break through my shield of age is when kids get in trouble. And then I'm like, oh, course. The next generation's fucked.
We've got Sky Jade, Kristen Hancher, YNW Melly, Ethan Kutoski.
None of those are register with me.
I don't know if this is good podcasting. I could just keep listing names.
Yeah, no, I think people wanted, I think it had the same appeal as like that, those Coachella lists. Like, I wanted to go through the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I think if somebody's sitting in their car, they're like, I bet I know some of these. And then they're listening right now in horror. These 26-year-olds even are like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, it's also important to keep in mind that I'm almost positive everyone on this list is a millionaire.
What are all the careers on there? Are they almost exclusively TikTok, Instagram?
TikTok star Ben of the Week.
What is that?
Dancer Michael Lee.
Okay.
Rapper Toosie, TOOSII. Rapper Triple Red. Instagram star Whoa Vicky. She has pink hair. TikTok star Emilio Martinez, Snapchat star Juane Roman, Instagram star Mario Selman.
Fuck, dude. I don't know. Dan, you had some more, right?
I had one that I'll give you four, and one of them I knew. Rod Wave, rapper. Belle Delphine, cosplayer.
Yeah. There we go.
Okay. Noah Cyrus and Daisy Keach were the other two in the list of four. Okay. Belle Delphine is listed here as a cosplayer. I only know her because she trends on Twitter every once in a while, and I click through to see what's going on, and there are enough details that I decide for my own mental health I don't need to know really who this person is. Because the details will be like, Belle Delphine is trending for something controversial. And then one of the first tweets under it will be like, isn't that woman who scammed a bunch of perverts into buying her bathwater? I'm like, I don't need to know who this is. I don't need to know any more information.
I know about Ooh Ooh Girls. Did you tell me about them?
Ooh Ooh Girls?
Oh, boy, I know a thing that you don't. God, I sit in this. Like, this is my Belle Delphine bathwater. This is what I like to be in. You don't know about Ooh Ooh Girls?
I don't think I do.
Ooh Ooh Girls, it's like a very specific type of trend. It's women who look like anime characters, basically. It's a vibe. It's like, in the same way that like goth was, Ooh Ooh Girls are Belle Delphine. They look like her. They have braces a lot of the time. Braces are very in. Mm-hmm. And they look like young, sexualized kids. And they do that cross-eyed thing with the tongue out a lot.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, she's like the original Ooh Ooh Girl.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, there's more of them. There's a lot more of them now.
And she is famous.
Oh, so famous.
So she doesn't strictly do pornography, or she does?
I don't think she ever does porn. I don't think she's ever done pornography. I think that was always like, she does like implied pornography. which is she makes that face a lot, which is like a sex face.
Uh-huh.
And then she does videos where like, you know, where you, she'll like be pretending to masturbate, or you'll just see her body like moving up and down. Like maybe she's having sex, but you're not actually, you're not seeing anything. Okay. And then there was, for a long time, there was like this, well, man, how do I know all this? There's like, there's controversy where she was going to like, she was going to do porn. Everyone was like rooting for that. All these kids were rooting for it. And she was like, said she's going to do porn. She got a fan, an OnlyFans. Within like a day, she had millions of subscribers to this OnlyFans because they're all ready for this video. And then she released something that was not what they wanted. And there was a revolt. Like everyone was angry at her.
Yeah.
I don't know if since then she's caved and done pornography, but she sells implied porn instead of actual porn.
Yeah. Fascinating that that's a career path. Let's keep this list going. I knew two in this next batch of four. Lily Rose Depp, Rylan Storms.
Oh, that's Johnny Depp's daughter?
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's why I knew her too, unfortunately. And she's also on that upcoming, it's not HBO, it's Max. She's on the new Max show, The Idol, with The Weeknd.
Oh, right. Controversy riddled thing. Sam Levinson, is that his name? Who makes that?
Yeah, the guy who did Euphoria.
Yeah. I've heard it's troublesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
But she is in that. So we both know her. Rylan Storms, TikTok star.
Oh.
Halle Bailey, R&B singer.
Hell yeah. Know her. She's in the new Little Mermaid.
I knew her from that too. She's the new Ariel.
The new 2 hour and 15 minute Little Mermaid.
Yep, the way too long new Little Mermaid. I didn't know her from anything before that.
No, in fact, I'm embarrassed to say that when the controversy was happening, where everyone, controversy I say, among the right wing, where they were all mad that she was going to be black, I thought it was going to be Halle Berry.
Yeah.
In the role. And I was like, which wow, they're
awesome.
Yeah, I was like, okay, aging her up, but I think that's a great choice.
Give me a fucking 50-year-old Ariel. Let's do it.
Still with these dreams of like, when I grow up, I'm gonna be up on the top side.
Still arguing with her dad, who has to be 110.
It's just like the old man from House of Dragon. Like, half his cheek is missing.
Yeah.
He's been in a lot of fights with sharks and stuff by then. And he's just so, so old. He's like, Ariel, please.
He's barely running the sea at that point.
Please, I just want you to be safe.
It's all Sebastian running everything behind the scenes.
Even he's like a 70-year-old crab. But I guess that's nothing for a crab. Crabs lived like 100.
All right. Dang Matt Smith, YouTube star.
No.
Bailey Madison, a TV actress.
No.
Gracie Abrams, pop singer.
No.
And Glorilla, rapper.
Ooh, that sounds like a name I would remember.
I knew her. I knew her, really? For sure. Yeah.
Fucking what?
I know.
There's somebody that I was expecting to be on this list, and I haven't heard her name yet. I'm going to see how old she is. Oh, here's the problem. She's only 17.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I just assumed everybody young was 23.
Right. Once I saw this list, I was like, oh, 23 is children now. Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah. There's a rapper named Payday who is 17, and I really like her. I think she's great.
It was interesting to go through this list and learn about, because it's a list of names, jobs, and headshots. And the headshot for Dream, appropriately enough, is him wearing this giant, like, smiley face mask that takes over his entire head. And that sent me down a rabbit hole of Dream, who is famous for playing video games, I believe, and for many years obscured his face and just wore this mask. And then one day revealed his face, and his fans were very upset that, I don't know, he was either too hot or not hot enough. It's always one of those directions that make people very upset. He didn't look exactly like they wanted him to look. And I had that context when I clicked through to see his face. And I was like, he is a normal looking dude.
I don't even think that, Dan, that he plays video games. I'm pretty confident that he just plays Minecraft.
How fucking old am I? What is Minecraft?
Oh boy, yeah, he's Minecraft famous. Minecraft is like the most popular game.
It's a game. It is a game, though.
It's a game. Yeah, okay. But it's just one. It's one game. And it's you've seen it around without realizing it. It's like very 8-bit. It's very blocky and clumsy, and everything looks kind of like big clunky Duplo Legos in it. And in this world, you build everything. So like if you want, you start with nothing and then you just like dig and you mine and then you ore and you're going to like, you'll get some elements out of the earth. And then from that, you can build an axe. And then with that axe, then you're going to build, you're going to chop down a tree and then you can build a house. And so like, it sounds like you just start from nothing and you just continue to build up and up and up. And it's all very clunky looking. And if you saw even like an image from Minecraft, you'd be like, oh, I've seen that on kids' backpacks or whatever. Yeah. It's the most popular game for kids from like age 6 to 18. It's the most popular, hands down.
Yeah. It sounds mechanically very similar to Animal Crossing, which I'm familiar with. Do you interact with other people?
Yeah, you can. It's one of those things where you can be on a headset.
You can bring people into your world and show them what you've built.
Yeah, let's see how that works. This is gonna be so many people screaming at their.
Do you play? Head. Why do you know this?
Oh, my nephew plays it.
Ah,
And at some point, Ronan talks about it a lot because it's coming up at school, and he doesn't talk about it in terms of like, hey, can we try it out? He just talks about it like longingly, like it's this thing that exists outside of. It will never be for him, which is a place I'd like to keep it for now.
Yeah.
You play with other people. You can mine. You can like work together in it. You can build whole little worlds in it. And then I'm not sure if that then cross pollinates. I think it does because you can be on headsets in which you're hearing other people doing similar shit to you, but maybe you're not working together. And so you're getting a lot of that weird toxic shit that comes with all gaming. And so that's something my brother is contending with, is that there's other kids either writing stuff or you can hear them.
Yeah. Oof.
That's part of the reason I won't do it. I can't introduce them to things like that yet. Gaming is fine, but I want a closed system. And then I also want a system that's not designed to addict him.
Yeah, know? Man, it's tough. I mean, like I'm not anti-video games. At all. But my nephew plays Fortnite, or I might be dating myself. He might play something cooler now at this point. And you want to play Fortnite if you're that age and you want to play with your friends. But it seems like part and parcel with that is also getting on a headset and opening yourself up to strangers talking to you. And like on the one hand, you want every kid to have some version of a normal childhood, but on the other hand, it's like, oh, I don't want anyone talking to my sweet little nephew while he's playing games.
It's such a terrible thing because you also have the problem of other kids, your child's age, even if your child isn't getting that from like strangers. Then you've got kids that are your child's age that hear the things that the strangers have said and then think, oh, that's just part of the gaming, and then start repeating it. Not necessarily like in other contexts, but like within the gaming. Like they understand like this is the glossary of what we do here.
Yeah.
And so like they're talking about rape and stuff like that. And you're like, oh no, that was so fast. That was so quick.
Man.
Okay, give me some more people.
I gave you all the people.
Oh, that's all of them? Okay, I think I got like five there.
I think you did too, yeah. Yeah, there were some... Noah Cyrus, is that a name that...
Nope.
No? That's a name that I don't know what that person does, but I've heard it before. And other names that I've heard that I didn't feel like... It felt like stolen valor to say I knew who they were Grayson Dolan and Ethan Dolan. I think Dolan... And they're YouTube stars. And I think Dolan Brothers or Dolan Twins was something that had come across my Twitter desk at some point.
I'm looking at them now. I've never seen these faces in my life. It's so crazy because I do a terrible old person thing, which is at night sometimes, instead of flipping channels on my television, I'll go to the video module on Facebook and I'll just start like scanning through it. Because at this point, it knows the algorithm's like, I know what you like. and it'll show me these things. That's where I ended up seeing that, like the beefs on for, or like with these rappers getting checked in other neighborhoods. And I was just like, I scroll through there every once in a while and I'll come up on people like Charlotte Dobre, who I was like, didn't know who that was. And now I'm keenly aware of who that person is. Is that somebody on your radar?
No, I'm also, you're still on fucking Facebook? That's the oldest thing I've ever heard you say.
I prefaced it. I said.
I know, but it needs to be reiterated.
Well, I'm not posting anything on Facebook. I will say that I do scroll it sometimes, and then I definitely scroll the videos, probably like twice a day. I'll just like go through videos on there because I'll watch a climbing video, and then the next second they'll show me Dracula's Revenge from Forgetting Sarah Marshall, and I'll be like, yeah, I'm into both these things.
Yeah, that's
Dracula's Lament, whatever.
Yeah, I think I deleted my Facebook in 2017 or 18 when they were directly responsible for the complete destruction of the comedy website that we both worked for.
Yeah,
and it seemed like I didn't want to give them any more of my attention or time or money. Mm-hmm. So you don't even post like, hey, American Dad season premiere Monday night, check it out. You don't post anything like that?
Let me see what the last thing was that I posted. I still got the icon right here. Oh, geez, Louise, soaring.
Was it about going to the January 6th protests? Your words, protests.
Yes, the last time that I posted was September 5th of 2022, when the season premiere of American Dad was my episode.
Ah.
And I was very excited about that. And I think it's also, I did that because there are also people that I don't connect with anywhere else. By the way, that's like the cop-out answer, obviously, for Facebook, right? It's like, well, I want to see what my high school classmates are up to.
Right.
I don't particularly care, but I do like them to know what I'm up to. and I'm not going to the reunion, so like, yeah, this is it. So, I'm not using it for its intended purpose. I'm not sharing anything with Facebook, but I am contributing to their anyone who's like producing content for that or putting videos up, I'm giving them money. Okay. I think. I don't even know how it works.
Do you have, speaking of reunions, do you have any milestone reunions coming up?
Yeah. I graduated in 2024 from college.
Yeah.
No, sorry.
No, you didn't, because that hasn't happened yet, but you're
oh God.
Almost.
I got a test tomorrow. I graduated from college in 2004, so it's going to be my 20th reunion.
I have my 20th high school reunion coming up.
Oh, it's so exciting. You're going for
because
sure.
Because
right?
I'm younger than you, but I play older than you, I think.
Yeah, you read as older.
Because my skin is terrible and my voice sucks. Yeah.
No, because you're Dad O'Brien, because you've got things.
Right.
You're better at scheduling. Yeah. That's something that an adult does.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to it. You're going to go to your high school reunion?
I don't know. I have no reason not to, but it's got to be coming right up. Yeah.
I didn't go to mine, but I am excited for you too. I think that you have a much better connection with the kids from your high school. I've met several of them.
I do. That's what's strange is that I'm close with a lot of my high school and actually elementary school friends. We stay in like an alarming amount of touch. We talk every single day in a 17 person deep group chat. So those are the people that I like and love from my childhood in high school. There's no shortage of time for us to be around each other. So a reunion event would just be about seeing the people that I actively chose not to keep in touch with.
But sometimes that's...
It still could be interesting, yeah.
Interesting. It'd be interesting to just be like a transparent eyeball there.
Yeah.
Like to just be able to watch and see everyone and look at them and be able to transport yourself from conversation to conversation, but owe nothing to the situation.
Yeah. I think I'm mostly eager for someone... surprising to have held a grudge for 20 years.
I would love that.
And then like spill it out at the reunion. That would be fun.
That's what happens in movies. I feel like,
yeah,
maybe that's why everyone goes to these. It's like there was one movie where that happened. Everyone's like, oh, fuck, I'm going from now on.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about what we've done. So high school, I didn't even gone to a single reunion. I wasn't even like compelled to. I don't know why. It was a very small high school, you know, my barn friends.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And I always, I don't know, maybe it was like the ethos that my dad was always like, at some point you will leave here, this small town, and you will go somewhere else and you'll find people who are like you. and I live
Look,
by
Soren,
that.
We made a terrible decision to raise you here. Your school is on top of a tree surrounded by freaks. We're very sorry.
They sort of did. I mean, like I was fine. Like I had friends, but I was not of the ilk of everybody else. These were kids who then went on to be in the X Games or to compete in the Olympics or to do different, like they became professional kayakers and rock climbers. And my ceiling was so clear in all of those sports. And like I'm somewhat athletic, but I was not anywhere near the caliber that everybody else in my school was. And it was like, oh, I can't do this stuff. Like I can't keep up with anybody.
it's so telling that you had to leave your small town to be a big fish in the pond of Los Angeles. You were fucking nobody athletic wise in wherever Colorado, but you came to LA and you were dominating everyone.
That's a really funny idea for a film where somebody gets off the Greyhound bus and they're like, oh, finally I can stretch my legs and breathe.
You guys don't have Frisbee out here yet? Ah, let me show you something.
Yeah, it was not where I belonged, but I forgot where I was going with this.
No, so
my reunion. Yeah. I didn't have a ton of interest in going back and like, I've seen the people that I liked from there. But college was a very big deal for me. Like college was where I thought the rest of my life happened. Yeah. Like college is where I went in and I was whole hog on college. I found people that I really, really enjoyed and a lot of them stuck around Los Angeles. And then what we would do is our first reunion came up after 5 years, they had these banners up. These like canvas banners for each year. And we went nuts that year. Like we treated it like we were still in college and not by, we weren't like, hey, do you guys want to do this? It just happened. Like as soon as we got back, everybody fell into their old roles and got crazy drunk. We ruined a dorm room and we cut down our banner and I became the holder of that banner. And so what we would do each year after that, and this is going to sound sad now that you're your age, but remember that we were younger. We were like 23 or whatever. We would come and each year we would come back to Oxy, put up our banner, be like, it's our reunion too. And then we just like drink with everybody.
I think I never quite developed that relationship with college. I loved Rutgers where I graduated from and made tremendous friends there and enjoyed my time. But I think... I'm sure we've talked about this before. I spent my first year at Rowan University in South Jersey and then transferred to Rutgers for the last 3 years for a number of reasons. And I think just that transferring creates a real disconnect because everyone says you form your strongest bonds and make your closest friends your freshman year of college. And I did make tremendous friends freshman year of college at Rowan. And then at Rutgers, you're sort of dropped in with all of the other transfer students who have their like legacy connections to their original schools. And no one, you don't have the quite the same experience if you're all starting at the same school, your sophomore year of college versus your freshman year of college. So there, it was hard to like really dig in roots in either school, even though I had great friends there and love Rutgers and rep Rutgers till I die and love Rowan and rep Rowan till I die. It was still just like, I never had any interest in going to a reunion at Rutgers.
I'm going to think back on that. And it's true. I mean, a lot of the people that I became friends with it was freshman year when we met. Like I'd say like after year 19, you're pretty much full up on friendships, except at work, occasionally meeting other people. I think it's staggering that you and I became friends when we did.
I know.
Life.
We were so old.
And we weren't working together. Like, we became friends before I started at Cracked.
Yeah.
Which is really rare. And I don't know that I've done that with another person.
No. And I was so suspicious that you wanted to be friends. I was like, isn't he like full up at this point? What the fuck?
Well, that was... Here's the deal. I had been abroad. let me say that the correct way. I'd been abroad. I had traveled abroad, and it was a similar situation where I went in second semester, and even that makes a huge difference, where I was there for a second semester, and it was so, being in a new city where I didn't know a single person, even at a college where like you feel like everybody's seeing each other all the time, it was so hard to make friends there. It was so fucking rough, and I was sad and lonely. And I was joining teams. That's why I did a trampoline team there and stuff, because I was like, people have to be forced to be around me.
Yeah.
And that's the only way this is going to work. Like, there has to be people that know me because they have to.
No, you follow a similar path that a lot of people do. You move to a new town in Europe. You don't have a lot of friends and you think, I got it. Trampoline team.
Yeah. And Ultimate Frisbee. That was the other one I did. And I like forced it. I forced friendships there. And when I came back, I was like, in the same way where I went to a new job after Cracked, and I was like, oh, I was not very nice to Tom or Dave. I should have been much nicer, and like became like a person who was different because they came late. And I was like, I'm full up on buddies. Yeah. And so when I left there, I was like, anyone who's coming to a new city, I realized how hard it was. And I was like, you just need somebody who's like gonna introduce you to people.
Yeah.
And so I was like, and when you came, you were this doe-eyed child who had just come out of college, who was like, and now I live here and I don't know anybody.
Yeah.
And you were also a very kind and nice person. And I was like, follow me.
Yeah. You did. I'm sure we've talked about this before, but it's such a generous act of your spirit. Very early on, you pulled me aside to say, do you have any friends yet? And I was like, I got a lot of irons in the fire, friendship wise. I'm sure any minute now something's gonna pop, and you're like, come to a party. I'm having a party. People will be there, and you can make friends. And very early on, I was like, no, I think I'm just gonna make you as my friend. You're my friend, and that's it.
I had been there, and it was like, it's so hard. And I did it a little bit with Schmitty too when Alex Schmidt came out. Because he was another like really kind heart. Where I
and
was
he
like,
was your employee. He worked. You were his boss. Was that your first like direct employee at Cracked?
I think he was. No, Randall was.
Oh, okay.
I think. Yeah, maybe it was. Maybe the two of them at the same time. But yeah, Alex Schmidt came, and he was just like this really sweet, nice guy. And I was like, you need friends.
Yeah.
Come with me. Come here. We're going to hang out. Like, he broke his, he got hit by a car. And I was like, I'm coming to your house. I'm bringing sandwiches. You're going to go to this sandwich spot because you're going to love it.
Right. Regardless of where he's literally from, he's from the Midwest and he needed help. And you helped him.
Yeah. And now at my job, I do a thing which I never would have done at Cracked, which is somebody new comes and I'm like, hey, I know what it's like.
Yeah.
I know what it's like to start here and no one tells you shit. And like, you're just, you don't know what you're expected. Like, what's expected of you. You don't know anything. I'm like, here's some things here. You're going to need the template for the, even to like write an episode. No one's going to give you that.
Like, yeah. I'm very curious about this. Do you find they need that? The reason I'm asking, this is very top of mind. I've spent the last 2 days having one-on-one informational sessions with interns at Last Week Tonight. These are people who are college seniors that we just Zoomed for 30 minutes and talk. And I have always kept myself open to talk to interns and people who work at the show who want to know more about writing and working on the show. And these fucking kids, they come to me and they tell stories where they're like, well, I feel a little bit bad because I'm working on a pilot and working on a feature, but I haven't really touched them since I graduated in December. And I'm just like, you fucking 19-year-olds, you're fine. Shut up. Don't. I can't give you any advice. You're so much farther along in your career than I was at your point. Do you feel that way with the younger people that you talk to at American Dad, that they're just so much more advanced than we were at their ages?
Yes. Yes. The young ones who have come in. Because we also hire people that are like the same age as me. Mm-hmm. The very first woman who came in after me, Alicia Keetry, I was like, I got you. Like, this is going to be fine. You're going to be fine. And she was like, yeah, I know. And she was like, and she was like, she hit the ground running. She's a darling of the show now. She's so good. She's a great writer. She didn't need shit from me. But like, there are other people who have come that have been like me or younger. And they're like, when they get there, they're like, what the fuck is expected of me? Like, they're freaking out a little bit. And then it's very helpful to them, I think. But yes, every single person who has come, who is young, I'm like, oh, you got in this game early.
Yeah.
This was smart. I mean, I wouldn't trade what we did. I wouldn't trade like our glory days.
No, certainly not. But there are people that I'm talking to that are like, I just graduated from Barnard studying double major in late night TV writing and screenwriting. I'm like, hold on, that didn't used to exist. Yeah, I can't help you. I can't.
Yeah, you're going to be fine. Yeah. So like some people come and it's like, it is very helpful. I think, I mean, at least they say it is.
Yeah.
But other ones I think are, they're just fine. Like they're from the jump. They're fine. They understand things that I didn't get early on. They understand like the social balance and stuff like that, even like right from the start.
I mean, every intern that I see, I feel like it's insane that you knew enough in college that you wanted an internship at a late night show. I'm still trying to figure out where I'm supposed to end up professionally.
Yeah. I'm curious to see where these kids will be. I mean, I'm sure, because I think maybe it was like this for a while. There were people coming out of the Lampoon at Harvard, and they're like, and now I don't know which of these six TV shows I want to work on.
Yeah.
And like, that's all they knew. And they right away, they got jobs. Right away, it was this direct pipeline from the Lampoon to broadcast television. And then they just kept those jobs, or they would like leave one and be like, okay, well, I've got three other offers, so now I'll work at one of those. And it's just not that anymore.
Right. There was that glorious past where someone at like MGM or Lionsgate or Warner Brothers would be like, oh, fuck, I've got all this money, but no writers to give it to. Does anyone want to write some television for me, Warner Brothers?
I read a story today on Vulture about the Who Jackie story.
I read that too. Had you heard that story before that article?
Never.
Me neither.
Let me like quickly, I think we should talk about it on the podcast at some point. Maybe we'll save it for another one. But I was reading that, and I was reading that Roseanne at one point had like 32 writers. And I was like, motherfucker.
She was just going to comedy clubs and seeing funny people and being like, you're hired, come to my show. Yeah. And now you work on Roseanne.
And the show was such a success that they were like, 32 writers is fine.
Yeah.
It's crazy that they had a stable that big, especially now with what the WGA is fighting for.
Yeah.
Those glory days sound insane.
They do. I want to split the difference from the insane glory days to what we have now. I think that would be a fair thing to do.
Yeah.
Am I allowed to say that during the looming strike? Okay.
I think so. Yeah. I don't think anyone is expecting there to be a writer's room that's over 30 people.
No, absolutely
that's a crazy
not.
Thing. Okay. I think we should stop talking.
That's got to be our show, right?
That's our show.
Yeah. This one feels pretty good.
Yeah. Okay. You can follow Daniel on Twitter at @DOB_Inc. You can follow me, Soren, at @Soren_LTD. You can follow our show, Quick Question, at @QQ_Soren and Dan. We also have an email address, which is QQ with Soren and Daniel@gmail.com, where you can tell me if NBA Youngboy is somebody completely different than who I just said. You'll be able to get a passing glimpse of our producer and sound engineer and editor, Gabe Harder, by going to GabeHarder.com. And we also have a Patreon, which is Patreon.com/QuickQuestion.
Yeah.
That's it. Bye, Dan.
Bye.
I've got a quick question for you, all right? I want to hear your thoughts. I want to know what's on your mind. I've got a quick question for you, all right? The answer's not important. I'm just glad that we could talk tonight. So what's your favorite? How did you get? Friends and comedy writers. If there's an answer, they're gonna find it. I think you'll have a great time here.